A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was the drowning on Igor.
Oh.
Yeah, getting thrown in off the platform and then doing the drowning scene, like with the hands behind the back, feet tied together, bag over the head, sinking to the bottom, struggling. That was the worst.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. Okay, welcome back to Cunning Stunts, and this week you guys are going to hear our interview with my best friend Mark Maley. Mark and I met many years ago in our late teens, and we became friends immediately. We both decided to train for the stunt register together, and we share many happy and sad memories. We have both been one hell of a crazy journey. In our interview, Mark shares how he became a stunt performer and his progression to head rigger and now on to stunt coordinator. He also shares some of the jobs he's been involved in more detail, and some of the actors who have impressed him along the way. In his nearly 20 years of the stunt industry, Mark has built up an amazing credit list, including Bond, Harry Potter, Star Wars franchise, Fantastic Beasts, Pan, and Golden Compass. And for all you Star Wars fans out there, Mark is currently stunt coordinator of the new Star Wars TV series. Okay, so here's our interview with Mark. Hope you enjoy.
My name's Mark Maley, and I'm a British stunt performer and part of the Jig Stunt Register.
Yeah.
And I've just got qualified to a full member of the Stunt Register.
Ooh, nice.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which is great. Yeah. Literally found out about a month ago.
Oh, sweet.
Analysis. Yeah. Can coordinate. God help everyone.
talk us through what were your different qualifications for being on Stunt Register?
I've done gymnastics, trampolining, high diving, swimming, horse riding, and kickboxing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
so
it.
So we both done the same disciplines and we trained together. So having, like, one of your best mates to train with and to bounce off of, it really helped us.
Yeah, so how did you guys meet? I feel like that's
randomly in a nightclub, wasn't it?
It's in a nightclub, Egos.
He was working as a...
What was the nightclub called?
Egos. I've never actually thought of that. That's actually quite...
He was working as a waiter in a cocktail bar, that's what I said. we met, you was breakdancing.
Yeah,
and,
I should do popping and locking.
I said,
come to do gymnastics. And so
I said, come down to the gymnastics club and I'll teach you some gymnastics.
Yeah.
So we went down to gymnastics club, adult session. I was like, I showed him a backflip. Did you do that? He went, yeah, done it straight away. Front flip, done it straight away.
like swung.
Wait, you went from having never tried to do a backflip before?
No, I've done a backflip on maybe a bouncy castle.
Okay.
Or maybe a trampoline. Not a bouncy castle. Yeah, nothing I'd do regularly.
I'll give this a go and you can do a backflip.
Yeah, exactly. I was quite lucky, yeah.
Within two seconds of like technique, I'd shown him the technique, he'd been able to take it up. So I obviously was two films into my career.
You just finished the second.
And then I'd seen that potential and knowing that I could gain a training partner and hopefully when we was our friendship was building up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it worked out well. We trained together and Mark come in on the third Potter.
Very
with us.
Third, yeah.
And then yeah, obviously Mark took over looking after you after my accident. So it's a crazy little journey.
It is a crazy journey.
What's really nice is now to see your career going onwards. I'm just really
getting
proud.
Desperate. UK's busy, isn't it? We've got to get something.
No, Mark, I'm just really proud. You've established yourself in a positive light in the film industry.
As well as being an amazing stuntman, you'd be one of the, it'd be fair to say, you'd be like one of the premier people to go to for like wild working rigs and all that stuff, right? I mean, you've really made that.
That's become quite a big part of it, really. But I think a lot of it, we always mucked about with it, didn't we, anyway?
Yeah.
Because the equipment was there with Greg. So we'd always be playing around, but then I think after your accident, I thought I made a bit more of a big decision to make it better.
Right. And
that's probably my main.
And some of the sequences that I know that you've been involved in, one recently that I was really proud of because you showed me the footage was the one on Bourne.
Yes.
And describe what was asked of you in the script and how you achieved it.
Well, I think they originally had in there is that he gets into a gunfire, he gets shot, he falls off, and he either lands on a car or lands in a dustbin, but obviously it's all been done before. So like, can we try and think of something a little bit different? So after like talking it through a few times, we decided that maybe the possibility that he gets shot, he falls, hits some power lines or telephone cables, like a big bunch, you know, like you'd get like draped across from like a motel sign over across, and then he would hit that. They would like snap, but as they snap, they'd wrap as well, sending him into like a sort of silk fall. You know, he's wrapped up in knives, but he falls out. And as he's about to hit the floor, a tension on his ankle, and then he swings across the road into a shop front. It was going to be like a huge glass front.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it all in one, which
and
we managed to do.
I saw the rehearsal all in one. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like 45-foot fall, wrapped in the middle of it, hung upside down, smashed through the window and dropped. It was just epic. Yeah.
How do you avoid, like, is there a danger of somebody getting wrapped up in the cables as this happened? Like, what do you do about that? I guess that's up to the performer, or is it you?
We've done little bits like that before, but this was like sort of taking a lot of different techniques and then sort of putting them in one go. So it's like you've got the high fall technique, you've got the wrapping technique, and they've also got the D-cell and the pendulum techniques. It's things we've done before, but just everything been up sort of thing. So like when we started with the leg beat, because I've never actually drop someone down head first and then just flipped them around the wrong way with their leg because there's a lot of force, obviously, that's generated. So we just started quite low and built up, and then we realised, you know, we could start adding twist into it and we can hit this hard into it. You know, you sort of build up then parameters until you get to if someone's saying it's a 7 or an 8 on sort of velocity and, you know, strain on the body, that's where we'd sort of stop, really.
Yeah.
So that gives you a bit of margin in case something was to...
And who was it that performed it?
It would be Ben Dimmock.
Ben Dimmock.
Yeah, we rehearsed with a couple of people, but Ben Dimmock was the main guy. But he's done the main
guy. Would that be Matt Damon's double?
Matt Damon's double, yeah. He's done him a few times. So, but yeah, bloody hairy gag. I've never seen anything like it. It was quite crazy. Because normally you do it in sections, you'd have the drop, then maybe have a wrap, and then like a swing and hit. But to combine them all together, probably the G's on his body from being upright to doing 2.5 twists and then to being upside down and then hitting something, stopping was obviously quite...
And how long rehearsals did it get you to build to this? You know, how long was that process?
We probably had about a week or so just in one area.
Yeah.
But then we had to go out. We done it in a week, but just a nice simple setup of a crane, scissor lift, you know, just how perfectly you want to set it up. And then we went to the location and it's actually on a canal. So there was a limited size crane you could have.
Yeah.
And then there was only a limited distance you could get to it as well. We ended up having to do loads of adaptions to then hanging a piece of truss off a crane and then spanning it across, putting anchors down to either side of the canal, guying it down to there and then building a structure on the roof and then guying it down to the roof.
Wow.
So it ended up being a 2-week rig in the end, even though we'd done it before.
And you're in charge of all of that. You're in charge of like positioning the cranes.
Yeah.
Putting the system up, load testing everything.
Exactly. Staying safe, you know, working out all the stress loadings on everything.
And would you agree that there's some of the techniques in working with wires has developed obviously since my accident? And
Definitely. The safety factors and parameters are a lot higher, really? I think. And you can still get things that look just as dangerous, but they're just not, you'd never tell, you know. You do things we used to do, and there's these like new pieces of devices like gold towels and stuff like that, and just new techniques, that sort of.
There's always new industries developing new things. So a lot of Mark's equipment comes from like the sailing industry.
Yeah.
So quick releases and quick pulley systems and deceleration systems. They all coming in now from all these like sailing or some stuff from the car industry sailing, and stuff. Yeah, so as all these new toys come out, stunt boys just work out how they can use it and how they can apply it. So, it's pretty cool. Now, Mark, just a couple of questions on as a performer. Obviously, in the Potters, we've done loads of stunts together. But after that, can you tell me some of the jobs that you did and some that you're proud of?
I finished Potter and then I got to meet Eunice. And then we got Dark Shadows quite close after that with Johnny Depp and a few other people in it. So we've done that. And then literally as we finished that, Gary Powell's popping in quite a lot onto the stage to see what we're up to. Because then he was doing Bond. He'd done Skyfall.
Yeah.
So I literally had a couple of weeks off, went on to Skyfall. And then before I finished that, Eunice got Maleficent.
Yeah.
And... because it's loads of wire work, loads of tuning forks flying, like kids flying. It was like really, really busy. She went to Gary and asked if I could leave Skyfall early and go on to Maleficent.
Yeah. So now you're at a stage in your career where people are asking you to leave jobs early because they want you for the next job.
Sometimes, yeah. I've been a couple of times.
You're too modest, Mark. We all know you're smashing it.
So. But Maleficent was great because that was a cool film to do. From going from Dark Shadows onto Skyfall. Skyfall was cool because there was quite a lot of car stuff. But then Maleficent, because I was quite heavily into the wires, to like have like a main character. Obviously, Maleficent be flying. She takes off and lands, I think, in every scene. So every time you look at scene number, you just write in the breakdown. Take off and landing, because you know that's going to be some sort of.
And what was Angelina like with her physical capability?
She's amazing. She's very impressive. Probably the most impressive female I've worked with.
And
she literally, we were rehearsing a 35-foot fall off a tower. It's like free fall, and then 20 foot into the fall, you'd hit into like a gold tower and a travel, and then it's like a bird free falling, catching the sort of thermal, and then taking off.
Yeah.
Like that, we were rehearsing it for a day with a stunt girl, just because it's quite tricky to get your body position as you're right. You know, like a swan dive.
Yeah.
Don't look down, you'll tip over. We were working very on that. And then Angelina came in the next day and she done it first take.
Yeah, wicked.
She didn't even want to start from a lower height. Like, look, we'll just do it off like a 6-foot mat, just see your body shape. She was like, no, I just want to do it. And obviously we knew we had the safety parameters. If she did go fully over, we could control it. And she just went for it. And she probably done the best we'd seen the rig being used. So
that's happened a few times, isn't it? Like where you...
Yeah.
Work with an actor and they've actually been able to perform the stunt as good, if not better, quite a lot of the time than the stunt performer.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned Channing Tatum on...
Channing Tatum, very, very talented, like super talented. Because I knew he'd done Let's Just Dance or something like that. Step Up. I think Just Dance is a guy. He might have been on there. Step Up. And so I knew he obviously was quite coordinated and probably quite agile. But like we're doing sort of these sort of crescent wrapped kicks, and he was just nailing the landings.
So you'd wrap him in a cable, pull him up, and as he'd pull up, he'd unwrap, and then a leg would come out as a kick.
Exactly.
Something that technically that's hard to do.
Yeah, it's like an axe kick, crescent kick, but so the bottom of his feet are like 10 foot high, so he's probably kicking up a lot.
But to have the strength to lift the leg in the rotation
absolutely.
Really difficult thing to do.
And so, just land just like, you know, sort of nice and prone position. Prone. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a superhero landing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And do it over and over again.
It's really impressive. Good when you get to work with people like that.
Yeah. That was Jupiter. Nice. Jupiter Ascending. So, he was super talented on that. He was great.
Yeah. A nice fella?
Yeah, lovely fella. Very, very nice. Yeah, very, very. I'd say both, I'd say Angeline and both of them, really friendly. And I think because they want to get on with everyone and work hard, I think they know, with, especially with the stunt guys, you know, you've got to get to know them because you can learn a lot. So
you just mentioned superhero landing.
Yes.
I do believe you can let us know what you've just been involved in before this.
I think it comes out in November. It's Justice League.
Yeah,
so I sort of stepped away from the head ringing a little bit for that, and I was doing system coordinating, which I'm enjoying, that's nice. A bit more creative, you know, because you're creative with wires, but I think with the system coordinator, sort of in every aspect, you can sort of get involved with the fights a little bit and get involved with, you know, sort of any of the vehicle stuff, anything really, which I quite like. Eunice.
And I mentioned, I don't know if Dan knows, but your first film was Troy, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was just turned 18.
Wait.
First film was Troy.
I don't think he was on camera.
Yeah,
you are right. Yeah, I've been there rehearsing stuff, but I've never been on camera.
Wow. Oh, you've been carried out or something, I'm sure.
I've done, what did you do?
Oh, no, you were young lad.
Yeah, I was a young lad. That was on Elizabeth. Very similar. You have to all like fires and everything and getting beaten up. And
you have to stairfall next to Brad Pitt.
I've done stairfall next to Brad Pitt, smash into a big vase. Yeah, that's embarrassing. I was supposed to do like, a little stairfall, and I literally just went too much, done like two or three steps, and then just pitched up and was just airborne. Like missed about 8 steps and just hit a huge vase made out of clay that was like a set piece.
Great.
And just smashed it to pieces.
First job, he went gun home.
I know.
I love that.
I met Eunice that day. She can remember it now. And she came up to me and went, "That looked amazing." She went, "I like you. You're going for it." And we actually met then. That was like probably, I don't know, 8 years before we actually got to work together. She's great. So I started head rigging for her. We met, actually. She looked after the high fall when I jumped off for Harry with Voldemort, the very final jump off the tower.
Oh, yeah.
She had to look after that because Greg was busy, and we become friends through that, really. So, yeah, that's how I got to know you. And then, yeah, she's been great.
What's your favourite action film?
My favourite action film? Oh, God, that's a tricky one. For what sort of stuff? Or just enjoy.
Or if there's like a stunt in something that you watched growing up, you got cool sequence.
I would have to say, look, Jackie Chan films. Cool. I love Jackie Chan.
He's always really
creative. The hits in it, you just know they're not half done. You've got guys getting kicked off balconies, landing on little tables, and it's for real. I've seen like the behind the scenes. It's all for real. Unbelievable. It's amazing.
I mean, he's also like, he's very creative and funny in
sense
as well.
Yeah. I think there's an argument to be made for Jackie Chan invented parkour.
Oh, definitely. He's been doing it for years.
He was doing it in the 80s.
He would always go to A to B. That's what they say. Yeah. Parkour is a way of getting A to B the most efficient way, I don't know why you have to fall back somersault. But that's what they say.
Yeah.
But then Jackie Chan was always doing that. He's always using his environment, you know, running across lilos, tic-tacking off walls. He's always...
Yeah.
Playing with it, wasn't he? Which is good.
I fully agree. He was a legend, really.
Yeah.
Have you ever said no to a stunt?
No, but there's one I wish I'd said no to.
What was that?
You know about it as well. It was the drowning on Igor.
Oh.
Yeah, getting thrown in off the platform and then doing the drowning scene, like with the hands behind the back, feet tied together, bag over the head, sinking to the bottom, struggling. That was the worst.
Yeah,
it was the day before my birthday, and if I was on my own, I would have cried.
Really?
I've done it six times, and I wanted to cry every time. It's only because people were there. I thought, it's my worst fear. It's my worst fear, drowning.
Yeah.
And I've done lots of drowning scenes. And it was like, the sack on the head was worse, because when you try and take it off, obviously it just clings to your face. Yeah. So if you try and pull it off quickly, it doesn't happen. And it had to be tucked in, so when I jumped into the water, it didn't just float off.
Oh.
So it's just a bad combination.
How long did you have to fall into the water? Did you have to worry about pressurization?
That's the other problem you're having.
Your ears were like the load on your ears. How far in the water did you have to fall?
The jump off the platform was 6 foot to land on your back, flat on your back, which obviously knocks it out of you anyway, 6 foot on your back, because you haven't that big. I've been thrown off a bridge.
Yeah.
And then the drop to the depth of Pinewood Tank, which I think's about 12, 15 foot. Yeah. So, the first one I done, I only put a little bit of weight on because I didn't want to sink.
Yeah.
I'm quite negative anyway. And I was just getting waterboarded. I was just like, the water was just covering my nose. So I couldn't breathe anyway, but I felt like I was drowning. And obviously no one come to rescue me because I'm just on top of the water. So that was that. And then the next time I thought I would put a bit more weight on, overdone it and just literally hit it and just dropped like a stone. Yeah. And my ears didn't clear.
What's the signal? What, if something's going wrong in that situation, what do you do?
The signal that we decided to do, because I'd done with the twine and hands... Well, the thing is, I had my feet tied together and my hands tied behind my back. It was only wrapped. So the thing we decided, if I was going to be in trouble, I'd just go stiff. If I wasn't struggling, that means I was in trouble. Because I'm supposed to be drowning. So if I just go straight and I'm not doing anything, that means coming
down. But surely the floor in this plan is, if you for real start drowning, you'll start struggling.
Yeah, and yeah, you have drowning.
No, it's fine. The signal is he goes perfectly still like a dead man. Then we know it's all right.
That's the only thing I can think of, because obviously that was only pretend tied around the hands, so I could undo them. But obviously I wanted to play that, so if I'd done it, I don't know.
I promised to be more.
I don't know what I could do. You could put a hand up. Normally you go like that. That wasn't an option.
I just like the stages of thought process throughout that whole thing. You know.
Yeah.
You know where, like, okay, I'm just going to fall, and then I'm going to do this. And if you don't, at one point, if there's ever panic in there, you know, it's going to go wrong really quickly.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you know your parameters, so you just don't go that far.
And you still want to cry, but you don't. All the months we spent. Think of all the months we spent on the underwater tank. You know, you think how confident you were in the water afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I was.
I never had to do anything like that, though. I never had to blindfold with my hands and feet tied.
But I know you was more than capable of doing a shot for over a minute and a half, swimming underwater, you know, holding your breath, interacting and acting. You know,
a minute and a half, sure.
No, easy, Dan. Because I was doing two and a half minutes.
Well over a minute, definitely.
Yeah, well over a minute, you know. So, but that was just your confidence was building up in the water over the time period we was in. But they're stunts, you know, that's a stunt sequence. There is a lot of things that could go wrong there and could have gone wrong there. Mm. But your confidence was built up around us.
Yeah, you're right, because it's probably a little bit my own fault, actually. Because they did say, can you do that? But you do say yes, don't you?
Yeah, of course you say yes.
Because they said we can break it up. And then that's a bit like, well, I sort of gave out the easy way.
Yeah.
So you can
tell. Even though we would, that wouldn't have been getting out the easy way. I mean, like, I know what you're saying.
Another gag I want to mention to yours was that Elizabeth one that we touched on earlier. Because I just thought it was a good performance.
Mm.
It was a good example of a stunt sequence where performance was, like, really key. Because, I mean... I don't know, did you use the tear stick for the cry?
That'd be telling, wouldn't it? I can't tell you that.
In the sequence,
I literally just stabbed it in my eye.
In the sequence, you had to get up and there's a, you know, the ship's being bombarded and masts are falling over. There's explosions, people getting jerked out of the frame. And the camera's on you throughout the whole tracking shot.
Mm.
And then right at the end, a big explosion, you get jerked out of frame on the side. It's just a really well-performed gag, you know? The technicality side of it's not that much. But it's just, I was like, oh, Mark, connect.
I felt like, I basically just thought I was the guy from Platoon.
Yeah.
I thought I was,
yeah.
Good.
William Dafoe, that's who I thought I was. And that's I just went into that zone, because that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Again,
not just, that the performance was up there with William Dafoe. Just like,
no.
Yeah, I was about to say, definitely was.
No, but that was actually my first ever job on the stunt register.
Yeah.
So before, I was obviously performing because they obviously needed small people, but I wasn't fully qualified. Smaller people.
And that's how my introduction to the industry was. Is we had to source out the work to find someone of your height when you was younger, with, you know, that capability of being able to do what was required.
Mm.
So, you know, that
and
was
I
my...
just grew to your height.
Yeah.
and selflessly stopped growing.
Oh, no. I was still a little bit smaller than you, though, weren't I? I mean, don't get me wrong, I've gone from 5'2" to 3-foot wheelchair. So I've had a big drop, but it's all right.
What is it about the industry that you love that, like, you know, at the moments when you're doing, like, when you're going for your sick take before your birthday or you're drowning, what is it that's like going, no, but I do still love this and I will still come back tomorrow?
I think it's pushing yourself because it gives you the adrenaline rush, and also I like people's reactions.
Yeah.
You know, when people are sort of just like, you can see people looking and thinking, I've seen people shout their gun, don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it, and you do it, and it's just like...
And so wait, you see, when someone's looking at you going, don't do it anymore, mate, there's a part of you going...
Oh, I love it.
Never say don't to me.
Yeah.
Not even my wife. She says, don't go out tonight, I'll be out, and I'll probably go out till 6 o'clock the next morning. Because that's what I'm like, So don't do that, basically means, I'm definitely
something
doing
about getting spanked.
Yeah.
Someone going, ooh, and then you go up, get up and go, yeah, I'll go again.
Yeah.
You know, there's just something about that. I don't know whether it's the macho bravado bullshit in us.
I think it is. I think it is.
Yeah. It's just something about that, you know. And I'll openly say, I really miss it.
Yeah.
I really miss that, you know, that buzz of performing something and getting something and impressing people and going home in the car. And remember, after day's work, we used to be on fire in the car on the way home. Just so much adrenaline running for us and what we wanted to do. And we were dreaming up stunt sequences. And can I ask a question?
Mm.
You're a dad now, Mark.
Yeah.
Did it really, did it change the way you thought about performing stunts or the situations you put in? Did your mindset change at all?
Yeah, it probably does, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Depends how extreme it's going to be. I've not been extreme. The only thing I wouldn't do now is skydive, which I would do before. I always want to do skydiving. Since I've had kids, it's just something I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
I know the chance of an accident are minimal, but but stunt work wise, no.
If your kids one day be like, I want to be a stuntman, would you encourage it? Would you be into it?
I'd rather not, but. Yeah, if they want to do it, I'd back them.
Yeah.
And so whatever they want to do.
If they've got your genes and
you
say don't.
Yeah. No, I tell them, no, they can do it, but they've got to go and do a qualification and in something. You know, I don't know whether it's get a couple of degrees. I'd love them to be architects or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to be done.
That's very specific.
Yeah. I like architecture. Maybe it's a bit selfish, but yeah.
You just want to build your
own. Nice.
Good banter, wouldn't it? Thank you, team.
Thank you very much, guys.
Oh, thank you so much. That was awesome.
That's
great.
Yeah, no, really, it was all right.
Okay, thanks everybody for listening to this episode of Cunning Stunts, and thanks to Mark Maley for joining us. I'm really proud of you, mate. Love ya. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. That's it for now, unfortunately. We're currently working on our next group of podcasts and possibly a new format, so please follow Ripple Productions on social media. Check out our website for further news. And until then, thanks so much for listening. Take care, stay safe, and I'll see you soon. Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.